Continuing to speak on the qualities, the nature of a true Son of God who ought to be a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is no coincidence, beloved, that at the end of Jesus' stay on the earth, before he leaves the earth to go and to ascend to his Father at the right hand of his Father, before his ascension, he mentions to us, and Matthew, the apostle, clearly captures us that we have to go, that's an instruction, that we have to go into all the world and preach the gospel, baptizing people in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that he has commanded us. So there is a must for us. It is not negotiable. It's not, we cannot just choose not to do these things. These are instructions. As long as you belong to the family of God and you are his son, it is a must that you have to go out and disciple people before the coming of the Lord. You know, God doesn't look at how much you give. He looks at how much you keep back for yourself. So it is in that God blesses you. The woman that brought a last mite, God looked at that she had nothing left. She emptied herself. And that's when her blessing became workable in her life. Similarly with you. God is not going to look at the little that we do of coming to a service. If we come to a service, it's not to advance his kingdom, it's come to build yourself up. You are here today because you want to build yourself up. You've come with an empty bag to collect grain from the word of God. Then you go home this week and you start to work on the grain to so that your spirit man is fed. This is for your advantage you've come here today. But what about for his advantage when you from Monday to Saturday can do something for the kingdom of God? If you are eating of him, now it's a principle. Our parents taught us that. Our grandparents taught us that. You respect the older folk that come in your way, okay? Your parents taught you that. Don't argue with older people. Don't shout at older people. Respect those that are older. Also, your parents taught you how to be generous and how to be hospitable. When someone comes to your house, give them a cup of tea. You know, many of our parents that are seated here today, when they're growing up, they observed that the first thing they did when a visitor came, they shared what they had. And so some of us come into your homes and the first thing you want to do is run and get us a cup of tea. You know, these are principles we've learned from our parents and grandparents. Similarly, we ought to be generous to Jesus because he told us certain things. He's given us so much. There's little we can do to appreciate that. The little we can do is tell someone about Jesus. Lend him your ears. Lend him your voice. Lend him your skill. Babylon has paid thousands of rand to train some of you. Why won't you take some of that and lend the kingdom of God? Because I tell you, something's about to come your way. According to the prophetic register, or decree that has gone out from current contemporary prophets, God's about to reveal himself as far as wealth creation is concerned, transfer of wealth, and of course, an explosion as far as benefits that will come your way and my way. So don't be in a place where you are mean to do something for God. Okay? We have 168 hours in a week. Let's take 2 hours of that and give it to the Lord.
Amen.
I'm not talking about coming to a service. I'm not talking about reading your Bible. That's all to edify yourself.
Yes.
How about coming and saying, Lord, tell me what to do.
Yes.
Give me a directive. And God speaks, okay? God speaks. If you didn't know that, God speaks. If he didn't speak, he's dead. We're not supposed to be here.
Yes.
He speaks. He speaks to each one of us. Which father will not speak to his son?
Yes.
Are you with me? Which father doesn't think? If you as a father speak to your children, how much more Heavenly Father speaks to us?
Yes.
So you have to tune in your ear to listen to what His instruction is, what's His command, what He wants from us. And we must, by all means, be kind to Him. Say, Lord, I'm available for you. Yes, we are available for what you want us to do. And God has stacked some of us so powerfully with different talents, with financial resources, with a good home, with the lights, with Wi-Fi, everything you have at your disposal to execute that instruction just before His ascension. And then He comes to us just before going to the cross, before His ascension, just before going to the cross, and He just left the Passover room where they celebrated the Passover, and they walk past a vineyard, and Jesus stops there, and He gives them the last teaching before going to the cross. The last teaching. And you know what the teaching's about? John 15. John 15. And we'll try to unpack that today. But before I do that, we finished off last week talking about the importance of doctrine. The importance of doctrine. The importance of the Word of God that is filtered up from heaven, from the throne room, from the heart of the Father, filtered through the Holy Spirit, who then downloads that information that comes. So every word that comes from the throne room must have the intention of transforming you.
Amen.
If it's not transforming you internally, there's something wrong. Because it's still remaining in the form of information. So information that's released from the heart of God, and I believe this morning, this is how God is has released information. Because I was excited this morning in my study. I was excited last night late in my study. Because sometimes stuff just comes fresh from the bakery of heaven.
Amen.
And sometimes 2 minutes before you can come to the front, God drops a thought. And that thought has to be worked upon by the one that is in the bakery, working with the dough, working with the stuff. And we will see the scripture this morning. So God will drop a thought, and that information, when it leaves Him, now must be converted to revelation.
Yeah.
Because revelation opens your eyes. Revelation opens your eyes. And you cannot live just living by these physical eyes. No one was supposed, no son of God was supposed to go to his grave or go to his death having his spiritual eyes still closed. You know what information will do? Information will come, it'll bounce off, it won't have an effect. So my job today as God's servant is to take that information and turn it into revelation. And then release that revelation so that it becomes transformational when it hits the frequency of your life. It mustn't just stay in your mind. It must go into your heart. And you know who waits at the entrance of your heart? Satan himself. What's his intention? He wants to steal the word. He wants to steal the word. That's what the Bible says. There's four types of soil. He wants to steal the word. He wants to distract you. He wants you not to collect this nugget, this gem that will be able to transform your life. So when you get that revelation, oh, you embrace it. It's like getting a bag of a million rand. What would you do with that? Would you just chuck it in the room next door and forget about it? Or will you scream about it, be excited about it, see how you can make it work? Okay? You know that heaven's currency is cryptocurrency. If you go to Isaiah 55, you know it's cryptic. It's cryptocurrency. There's come and buy without money. Heaven's Bitcoin. No physical cash. Heaven's bank is a digital bank. No physical money, but it's been poured out into your lives. Come on. Don't lose out. It's all locked up in its principle in the Word. Let me just give you an example of what I'm saying today before we go to understand doctrine. You know, people hate doctrine. People like Singhi, people like Jabulani, people like 15 minutes of teaching or preaching, but people don't like doctrine. See, doctrine is the stuff that comes from the throne room.
Amen.
It falls like dew, and in it you will find what you're looking for.
Amen.
But you have to appreciate it, you have to love it, you have to accept it, you have to embrace it. It must become, you must be convinced that it's a bag of gold. So I'm not preaching to you today, because we preach to the unconverted, we teach the converted.
Amen.
So you're in the classroom of the Spirit. So let me just look at this. For example, Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20 and 22. Let's look at an example, a case study on healing. How the word can heal you. Because people are sick, and right now we are on the eve of the fourth wave. Numbers already going up. I wonder those that are going up, how many vaccinated, non-vaccinated? We need to try to find that. Vanessa will give us all the stats. But this is the time it is. So people will, what will happen now? Fear will come in, anxiety will come in, lack of trust in God will come in. So let me just give you that case study of how the word is doctrine for healing.
Amen.
Let me tell you, if your spirit man is charged up, your physical body will be healed.
Amen.
So how you fill your spiritual man, more of the word, more of the word. Overflowing word will dictate and send a relay, a message to your physical body, bow down to Jesus.
Yes.
But if your spirit man is empty, you will panic, you won't know where to, you will grope in the dark.
Yes.
But we are saying today, let's take this case study before her. I'm going to elaborate a bit on it with a PowerPoint. You love a PowerPoint?
Yeah.
I did my study this on a PowerPoint called Doctrine. And I didn't consult a specialist. I did it myself. And when I took it to her to show my PowerPoint, she said, "Hey, you good man."
No editing.
Hey, no editing. I sent it to the editor. He said, "Better than mine." So God is with me. Hallelujah. The old bully is learning. Proverbs 4:20. For they are life. Proverbs 4:20, verse 20. I had my Kellogg's this morning, so I feel good. I'm lying. I'm fasting. Proverbs 4:20. My son, give attention to my words. Give attention to my words. Can you hear the Holy Spirit standing outside your heart's door and speaking to you, or standing next to you now and saying to you, give attention to my words. In other words, don't ignore my word. What I'm speaking right now, it is important, right? But in the, this is Solomon speaking. This is the Solomon speaking to his sons. But now let's take this and look at a prophetic picture in this word. Okay, my son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. What is he saying? Do not let them depart from your eyes. How can words depart from your eyes? Do you see words or do you hear words? Put the scripture up, Revelation 1:12. We covered that before, but it's important to put it in this perspective of this, in the structure of this, or context of what I'm about to say. Look at this. Now, in the physical world, you'll hear words. But in the spiritual realm, you'll see words. Now, Solomon is saying, come on, you've got to start seeing my words. In other words, words must not remain abstract. It must become, it must be formed before you. Yeah. It must become formed in before. So let me. God is a specialist in forming stuff. You have the ability also to speak words so that it is formed in front of you.
Mm.
But if you're empty on the inside, you will speak to that closed door and never be opened. There's nothing inside of you. For you to speak to closed doors to open, man, you got to have something inside.
Yeah.
The power of God inside of you. And the strength of the word produces that power to open any door, any closed door.
Yes.
I showed that to you just now. Then I turned to see the voice. See, that voice spoke, but when he turned, John is turning, after receiving this revelation or this picture or this vision, he sees the voice. In other words, words became formed in front of him. I'm telling you something, the days are coming. What you speak will be formed in front of you.
Amen.
It's not going to take years, but it's going to take moments because of the level of that word inside of you.
Amen.
What's on the inside becomes formed on the outside.
Amen.
There's not going to be perspiration and slogging and battling. No. I'm going to trust the word. You know, some of our men have not accumulated any kind of investment for their children and grandchildren. They even don't have insurances. I'm sure in the Christian faith there are brothers like that, and they said, "Now I'm 50. I don't even have 10 rand saved or 100 rand saved in this investment that will produce something for my children or grandchildren. There's nothing." The coffers are empty. But hold on. There's a way we can short circuit that. There's a way we can equalize it. There's a way we can see that our bank balance has 6 zeros. And you could come to par in a few days' time and be equal to the man who saved for a while. You know how? By loving the word of God. Loving the word of God will give you that edge that you were longing for a long time. Are you with me? I hope I'm putting it right. Then I turned to see the voice that spoke with me, and having turned, I saw 7 lampstands. So, in the spiritual, your words can be formed and become physical structure in front of you. Now, that's what Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20 to 22. Let me quickly go on this this example I'm using at the moment. Let's go back. Proverbs 4, 20 to 22. Do not lean up. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. What? The words. The words that become life to you becomes health to all their flesh.
Mm.
So the word of God has the capability, has the ability to heal you.
Amen.
But if you don't have the word inside of you and you want to start to pray on the word, just because you need something, it's not going to work. There has to be something inside of you. You got it, beloved? The word must be filling your vessel inside of you all the time. Exodus 15, 26. So you got that? The word produced your health. The word is capable of healing you. Exodus chapter 15, verse 26. And he said, if you diligently heed the voice of the Lord your God, and do what is right in his sight, give ear to his commandments, keep all his word that he speaks to us, I will put none of the diseases on you which I have brought on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you.
Amen.
So there's an alternate to seeing physical doctors. We love doctors. They are useful in our lives. They have been good. But there is someone that is greater than your doctor, your GP.
Amen.
This is God. He said, if you diligently heed the voice of the Lord. So when God speaks, and his word comes forth, diligently means you must be awake. You must be on your toes. You must understand his voice. And when you do that and keep his word, none of the disease will come upon you. And if you have a disease, I am the Lord that heals you.
Amen. Amen.
So wherever you're sitting with some form of sickness and ailment and disease and challenge with your body, come on, start loving the Word of God. Start spending time with the Word of God. Start challenging yourself. Listen, I am going to do this. I'm going to spend time with the Word of God and receive your healing. Psalm 107:20. I'm just structuring this point that if your bodies are sick, you can receive healing just by falling in love with the Word of God, spending time with the Word of God. Amen. Amen. Read with me. He sent, capital letter, he, capital letter, capital letter, his. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. So the Word of God is able to heal you.
Amen.
You must wait for the sent word.
Yes.
Only the sent word heals you. Hallelujah.
Amen.
That word comes from the throne room, and that word is called doctrine. The sent word is what I call doctrine today as your speaker. Amen. So this is it. Now, Isaiah 55:11. You are healed today in Jesus' name.
Amen.
You are healed in Jesus' name because of your love of the Word of God, your want of the Word of God. You need the Word of God. God is going to touch you today wherever you are. Amen. Isaiah 55. So shall my words be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me void.
Amen.
When that sent word called doctrine leaves the mouth of God, it is so directional, it is so intentional that it doesn't lose its direction. If it's sent for you, it'll come into your body, it'll touch you, it'll not return void. But it shall accomplish what I please, says the Lord, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. Again, sent it. That's a doctrine we're talking about.
Yes.
The word that is sent from God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Today I am praying to God that I will not be tempted to speak anything outside the sin dimension. That I will be a proponent of things that are sent from God. Amen.
Amen.
Look forward for that, beloved. Look forward for the sent word. Amen. Now look at Asa. Asa was one of the kings. And 2 Chronicles 16:12. Asa. Let's see what happened to Asa. A-S-A, yeah? 2 Chronicles 16. And in the 39th year of his reign, Asa became diseased in his feet. And his malady was severe. His problem was severe. Means his feet were finished. Yet in his disease, he did not seek the Lord, but he sought GPs. Read that. So our problem is sometimes we don't go to God first, we go to physicians first.
Yeah.
Hello?
Yeah.
This was Asa's problem. Maybe you don't do that, but this is Asa's problem. The first thing he did, the medication, the doctor, the specialist. We spend so much time, yet the easy thing is consult the word that is inside of you. I don't blame you if you go to a physician if there's no word inside of you. But if there's word inside of you, you must trust that word. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Trust the word of God. Amen. Are you with me?
Amen.
If your sugar is too low, you're feeling sleepy, or your sugar is going high, yeah? Feeling sleepy, in Jesus' name, rise. In Jesus' name, arise. Doctrine is coming. When doctrine comes, you must be awake to doctrine. Amen. 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 So let's go now. That's just a case study to talk about how the word can do a better job than physicians. Ask Asa. He didn't trust the Lord. He went to physicians first. So may this church today trust doctrine. And what is doctrine? Let's go to our PowerPoint and let's study that together as studious students of the word. Amen. Let's just look at this power and follow me today. And because doctrine is what is sent from God. You can't treat it shabbily. So we just study doctrine for a little while. Hang in there with me. Let's enjoy this journey of understanding what doctrine is. Amen. Doctrine means something taught. It means teachings. So God discharges teachings from the throne room. So all these blasts are going on in heaven, blasting the word is coming through different matrices, and they come into your life. God is releasing, and as he releases that word blasts through different matrices until it establishes in your heart. Can you hear heaven, the rumbling, the lightning, the thunder? As God speaks, he's teaching us from the throne room. So whatever you're receiving comes from the throne room. Means something taught, teachings, instructions, to teach the substance referring to the truth of God's word. So today's substance is coming. Not one joke, one vernacular song. No, it's substance that's coming. Something that will build your future. Something will build your posterity. Something that will connect the generations and build you and your children and your grandchildren. Can you see that? Amen.
Amen.
Can you see that, Eric? Can you see your grandchildren? Can you see them today? You see them in your generation. You see them in your life. Why? Because God's truth comes as substance.
Yes. Amen.
That's why God always deals with Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. Whatever I'm releasing now, I'm not releasing just to Abraham. I'm releasing to Isaac and I'm releasing to Jacob. God is a generational God and he prepares for three generations. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Because it's substance, it carries weight.
Hallelujah.
You can't treat it shabbily.
Yeah.
What an insult to God.
Yeah.
When the heavens are firing and you see these missiles leaving the throne room. In it is all the messages and the teachings that are coming straight now from heaven into your heart.
Mm.
And you open that note. And you open the note and you see you are the recipient of the A, B, C, D. Fresh from God. It's a sent word. That's why we are here to preach the sent word.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Next. So what is theology? We covered that last week. Theology means the study of God. It's made up of two words, beloved. It's made up of theos and logos. Logos is the word of God. Please pardon me. Still trying to do my PowerPoint. It's a bit small. But can you see that? Karen, can you see them? No, it's too small. Then you must come early to sit in the front. Hallelujah. Theology means the study of God. Okay? The study of God. So we have to study God. Because how can you receive something sent from him when you don't know him? You will think your uncle from the other city sent it to you. Meanwhile, God sent it to you. So it's important to know who you're relating to. Who's sending you stuff? Hello?
Yeah.
How to receive the stuff. How to have gratitude built in your system, in your culture, when you receive these things. So it's important to know that. So theos means God, logos means the word of God. So when we talk about theology, it's simply meaning I'm studying the one who sends the word into my life. I want to know him. Do you want, beloved, you know what eternal life is? Eternal life, according to John 17:3, is to know the Father. Once you know him, you are in eternal life. So in life, as we said, let me recap, we have bios life, we have Zoe life, and which is Zoe life is eternal life. Now, when you study God, you are saying to Him, Father, I want to know You. I want to know You. I want to know more of You, so that I build a meaningful relationship with You. Because I'm ready to receive everything that You're sending me. And I want to know You through Your word. Amen? I want to know You through Your word. The sent word. And so, theology is a systematic and logical arrangement of facts. Of facts. We're not blowing our trumpets here. We are just saying facts. Truth has to do with certified facts. And when we preach, we are preaching facts from this pulpit. God will strike us if we are going to fabricate stuff to make you feel good. We are not here. We are here to rub you up so that you feel you are aligned to God's purpose. Messages and teachings are not meant to make you feel good. It's meant to adjust you. So when you're adjusted, you align to what God is coming. So when His blessings come, when His voice comes, when what He's saying comes, it finds a landing place in your heart and life. Okay. So John 13:17 says that you can't just have knowledge, but you must practice the knowledge. Knowledge must be both revelatory and transformational, beloved. So let's go on. So what is dogma? Let me talk about two things. You know why people hate doctrine, or they attack doctrine, the voice of God, the sent word? Why do they attack it? Because they mix up dogma and doctrine. Dogma is what man makes. Doctrine is what God brings down to us. So what is dogma? Dogma is a statement of a truth set forth as in a creed. Now we have our dogma in We Believe. It's a book that is out in the back. You could get that. It in the Gate family, we have our statement of fact. This is what we believe in. It's called our dogma. But doctrine is God's revelation of truth as found in the scriptures. That's why, you know, we use the scriptures a lot, because doctrine is about searching the scriptures. Searching the scriptures. This house is word intense because we search the scriptures. We force you to go into the word of God. So have you got that? Let's go on. So what is the purpose of doctrine? We've covered that. Purpose of doctrine is to place order in your life. To bring back the order of God in your life, in your marriage, in your personal life, in every phase and facet of your life. Doctrine comes from God as a sent dimension to adjust you and bring you to where He wants you to be. Next. So 1 Timothy 5:17, talking about us and our responsibility before God. Listen, look what it says. Let the elders who rule well be counted worthy of
double
honor. Not everyone, especially those who labor in the word and doctrine. If a preacher is laboring, like Pastor Thamo, laboring as an apostle in doctrine and in word, he ought to be receiving double honor. And I was talking to my students on, which was it, Monday night, of how I give him, as my spiritual father, double honor because he labors in word and doctrine.
Amen.
It's very difficult because you become a laborer when you preach like that. When you focus on the word, it's not about all the peripherals in preaching, standing in front. No. It's about laboring. It's about opening the heavens. About while you're preaching, trusting God that the word that you're bringing will change the hearts of the weakest person in the congregation while you're preaching. Yeah. Fighting the forces that will stop the word from going into your heart.
Amen.
That's laboring.
Yeah.
So it's not just being cool standing behind this pulpit. It's more than that. Putting this PowerPoint together, it was labor. Bringing the word is laboring. So there are those that will parade, and there are those that labor behind this pulpit. Now I'm praying to God that I'll be someone who will be known as a laborer.
Amen.
Not just working for the Lord, but laboring for the Lord. Long hours, working in the vineyard, working in the bakery of God, trusting God that the word that is coming will change the heart, bring wealth to you, emancipate you, place you where you are successful, happy every single day of your life. That's why it's such a joy to preach this word of God. Amen. Let's go on. So why is doctrine necessary? Why is doctrine necessary? Can you see the first verse there? It is verse necessary. You know what Paul is saying to Timothy? Timothy, the time will come when believers will not endure sound doctrine. Wow, that's a sad part where a church member can go stand outside while doctrine is coming. And two guys can go discuss soccer outside. Pinch the children so they can take them outside. I've seen that. Where musicians talk about the word, sing the word of God, but after they finish, they're outside.
Yeah.
Hate the word of God. Dislike the word of God. No value on the word of God. There's coming a time when there will be no endurance for sound doctrine. I feel sorry for believers that cannot love sound doctrine, the sent word from the throne room. This is what God is saying. Paul is saying to Timothy, please teach your audience, the church of Ephesus that you are pastoring, to love sound doctrine. I hope you're getting sound doctrine in this church.
Amen.
Please send me an email and say so. Amos 8:11. Next verse. Amos 8:11. Amos 8:11. You know, just see what the COVID has done for the last 2 years. No apostolic schools. Am I right? No POAs, live POAs. No. Imagine if this goes on for a couple of years. We cannot hold these forums anymore. We have to have the sound doctrine in our hearts. When last year have you been to a conference in the city? Everything has come to a standstill. It made us understand that this word is going to become very scarce. Your body cannot do without food, am I right? Your spirit is more important than your body. How come you starve it? And you expect God to do something. There are believers that never open the word of God. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, that I will send a famine on the land. Not a famine of bread. You'll have a lot of bread at home. You'll eat 3 meals a day, have your snacks. Your body will receive so much of food, but it's not going to sustain you. See what it says? I will send a famine on the land. Not a famine of bread, not a thirst for water, but the hearing of the words of God. That's a famine that's coming on the land. People will be so absorbed with apostasy. I'll do my own thing. Don't tell me what to do. I'll come when I come. I'll sit at home when I come. I don't need doctrine. Well, you must face your own music. Yeah. Then, pastor, come faster with the plaster. Pastor, come faster. And you got a problem. Got a problem. But then, I like what some pastors did. Pastor Jonathan David, he told us once. He has a prayer place. He said, people come for counseling. First, sinner, listen, take 1 week. Go sit in this prayer place. Go and read the word. Go and fast, pray. Then I'll counsel you. Take off work, you got leave. If your problem is so big, it's affecting you, Take off weed, put your leaf for your problem. Go and sit in the prayer mountain, pray there. Seek the face of God. Then come and counsel. We'll have a breakthrough. We must be able to do that, isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay? But the hearing of the words of the Lord. You know, it is so sad that we have still not found that our spirit man is just as important as our physical body. If we are sick in body, if we don't have transport, if someone is sick during the day, we'll make sure that we'll pick up the phone, we'll phone the doctor, we'll make an appointment, we'll sit in the doctor's room for 2 hours just to take care of this body, which is important. But when the spirit man is lacking the word of God, we don't care. I ask you something. How much money do you spend a month on physical food as compared to buying a good study Bible? Oh, you talk to me. How many of you have a good study Bible that costs about 300 Rand or 500 Rand? Talk to me. You have to start to evaluate the spirit man. Invest in the spirit man. I'm helping you by talking like this. You know that?
Come on.
I'm helping you.
Amen.
I'm doing an assessment, Amen. Evaluation. Yes. I'm like a doctor today.
Come on.
Let's go on. There's a present attack on doctrine. People want philosophies of men, doctrines of devils.
Mm.
And I'll show you right now, there's a doctrine of God, there's a doctrine of man, and there's a doctrine of devils, demons. All three want to influence you. The thought of God, the thought of man, and the thought of demons. Can we go to the scripture and look at that? Okay, so even in John 7 verse 16 and 17, Jesus is saying, hold on, when doctrine comes, it's not coming from even me. That's how important it is. The scriptures, all scripture is given by the inspiration of God. You see what he says here? In John 7:16-17, he's saying, my doctrine is not mine, but it belongs to the one who sent me. So if I am not taking credit for it, and it's coming from my Father, how much you, beloved, who are saying you are sons of God, you don't love it.
Yeah.
You're not enjoying it.
Come on.
You know what you should be saying? Don't stop, Pastor.
Yes.
My bag still has peace. This is the hunger that God wants. You see, that's why this church, praise and worship is not more important than the fall of doctrine.
Amen.
Yeah. Amen.
Yes.
Praise and worship goes up. Doctrine comes down.
Hallelujah.
What goes from here can be hijacked, can be fabricated, can be put on, can be disguised.
Yeah.
But what comes from top is pure.
Yeah.
So we'd rather have 5 minutes what goes up and let the rest of the time what's coming down. Because only pure sound doctrine will revolutionize an environment.
Yes, hallelujah.
Very good.
Musicians don't like me. I am one. I love singing. The need for doctrine. I'm going to use some terms now, and I know you're very intelligent to receive this. We live in a world of relativism. No absolutes. It means the context dictates to us. As far as culture is concerned, as far as practices are concerned. That's why during the time of Diwali, Christians spend more money on fireworks.
Yeah. Come on.
Because of relativism. It's coming to the church. How many of you here, put your hand up, that you celebrated in some way or another, you celebrated Diwali? By not coming to a prayer meeting, you said, I'm going to visit someone to celebrate with them.
Shame on
you. First thing is, that's a fact. It's a fact. We live in relativism. That's why we can put off receiving the word of God for a party. The culture, the context must dictate to me. Even if God screams and calls me in my closet, I will not put that off. Relativism. It's a philosophical slant way of living today. That's what I'm teaching my young adults. Don't put off coming to receive the word, the breaking of the word. Don't put that off. It's important to you. It's like going to, I tell them, I use this thing, like going to a UNISA exam room to write your exam. That's how you must treat each session when the word is being divulged. Okay. So the Bible says, then there's other things like atheism. What's atheism? Don't believe in God. Agnosticism. It is eating up the church. We'll only accept certain things. We don't believe that there is a... there's nothing is known or can be known about this God. He's somewhere hid somewhere else. There's nothing I can know about him. This has hit the church now. That's why you have lost your faith. Because you've become agnostics. No, this God can't work in my life. No, this God is not alive. This God doesn't hear me. This God is not there. Why did God, why this happened to me? Where is God? Agnostics. It's coming to the church. Pastor Lionel is a theologian, and he knows well about all these things. I'm dwarfed by his knowledge of some of these things. Then what about existentialism? I will determine what I am. Mm-hmm. I am the boss of my life.
Yeah.
It's coming to the church. Yeah. Don't tell me what to do. Yeah. Existentialism has hit and has destroyed the absolute of listening to the voice of God. It's a philosophical slant. It's coming to the church. I'm diagnostically looking at your life today. I make it happen for myself. Don't tell me what to do. This is a belief system. And then all the other things have come into the church. It's ruined the place of absolute. But yet the scripture is saying, 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is given by the inspiration of God. Let's go quickly. These are the classification of doctrine. I want to spend 5 minutes here before we start to close over. There's a classification of doctrine. In other words, let's classify them. There are three different thoughts. And let's go to this passage of scripture, Matthew 16, 13 to 23, and we see three sources, God, Satan, and man, in this passage of scripture. All scripture must be tested in the light of the written word of God. All of these thoughts must be tested. Let's just go there quickly. When Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, who do men say that I am? So you see the word men? So with the thought of men, Jesus is asking his disciples, what do men? You are down on the road. You are interacting with the people. What are the guys saying about me there? What do men say? And then, rightfully diagnosed and said so, verse 14, so they said, some say you look like, you are like John the Baptist, some say you are like Elijah, others say you are like Jeremiah, and some say you are one of the prophets. That was man's assessment. That was a thought of man. This is what men thought of Jesus. And then he turned around to them in the next verse and said, what do you say? How do you assess me? You are now close to me. How do you assess me? And he said to them, but what do you say that I am? And Simon Peter answered, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Right? Jesus answered, said to him, blessed are you, Simon, For flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. In other words, he commended Peter. Peter, you are connected. You are connected. You have the right assessment. Come on, you see the right stuff. Let me tap you on your back. Let me give you a hug. And I also say that you are Peter. On the statement that you made, this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against you. In other words, the church must be built on Christ. The revelation of Christ. Okay? So not just information. Information must become revelation. He got information from these guys down there. Information from Peter and his apostles. This is what the guys say out there, it's information. But when Peter spoke, he received the revelation that Christ is there, that he is Christ. Okay? And let's go on. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind in earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. And then he commanded his disciples that they should tell no one that he was Jesus the Christ. Why? Because time was not ready. He was still going to the cross. If he was going to the cross and they knew he was Christ, they'll stop him from going to the cross. He was so passionate about his assignment to go to the cross that he said, don't tell anyone that I'm the Christ. Okay? Let's go on. From that time, Jesus began to show to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem, suffer many things from the elders, chief priests, scribes, and be killed and be raised on the third day. Then Peter took him aside, began to rebuke him. I want you to catch this. The same Peter that Jesus hugged and commended because of the revelation that came through him that Jesus was the Christ. Now the tables are turning. Now, Jesus identified in verse 23 that the thought and the spirit of Satan entered Peter. At one time he's commended, now he's going to be rebuked. And then he turned and said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. I tell you something, if representatives of God use that statement today in the church, when those that are rising up and those that are rebellious and those, there will be pandemonium passing them. But Jesus knew he was not addressing Peter, he was addressing the spirit that entered Peter. And he said to the same man that he commended, the same man that received the revelation a few verses ago, now Satan has filled his heart. Be careful. It's a warning to us. You know, you can be so excited about God one minute. Next minute, you could say something that will abort the plan of God over your life, over the church, over your future. Be careful. So be careful. Hallelujah. But he turned and said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. You are an offense to me. For you are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men. How come you can bring a report about what many say, but you can't be connected to the assignment that's in my heart? So in this story, we see three thoughts. The thoughts and what men say. Second is the thoughts of God, what God is saying. And thirdly, the doctrine of Satan. The thoughts of Satan. So, in this case study, we find those three things. Thank you, Joey. Are you still with me?
Amen.
Hallelujah. So, the thoughts of God, the thoughts of man, and the thoughts of Satan are all locked up in this passage of Scripture. So, it tells us that there is the thoughts of Satan. Go forward, Joey. You can read here, 32. The doctrine of God has to do with my doctrine. It falls like rain from above. Go to the next one. You all know about it. The doctrine of man speaks about all the things that relate to man. Okay? But the doctrine of Satan, this is what Paul is saying to Timothy. Young man, as you become a man of God over the church, the main church at Ephesus, let me tell you, in the last days, this is what will happen to believers. Be careful of these believers in the church. Timothy, this is what's going to happen. Some will depart from the faith. Number two, they'll give attention to deceiving spirits. You can read that in 1 Timothy 4, verse 1 to 3.
Yeah.
Take that on your cell phone. Thirdly, they'll give attention to doctrines of demons. Fourthly, they'll speak lies in hypocrisy. They'll feel nothing to talk lies because their minds are seared. And just talk about believers in the church. And fourthly, their consciences will be seared. That means they can do something wrong and feel nothing about it. This is the assessment of Paul the Great about the believers in the last days. It's not coming from me, it's coming from the Word. Are you with me, church? This is the assessment. Satan will be the engineer of all these things. It's called apostasy. Relativism, existentialism, agnosticism, and, of course, atheism will come into the church. It is sad, isn't it, beloved? You're all students of the Word here, so you know these things. So what there's a need for? There's a need for all of us today. Number one, I want you to cover all. There's a need for us to be accountable.
Yes.
Say accountability.
Accountability.
Second, we have to be compliant in some way, ambidextrous. We must be adaptable to what God is saying. Adapt quickly. Adapt quickly. First, be accountable. Husbands, be accountable to wives. Wives, be accountable to husbands. All those kind of accountability must be present. Secondly, there must be adaptability. Learn how to adapt quickly. So you'll be compliant to what God wants, not what you want. Hello? Thirdly, you must do an assessment daily on your life. Assessment. Do a daily assessment. Wake up in the morning and say, am I serving God? Have I read my word? It's not religious, but it has to be done in your life. Assess yourself. Then, advice. Always look to the Word for your advice. Look to God. Find the point that will advise you on what to do so that you don't mock yourself, you don't make yourself a fool. Because there's coming a time where foolishness and deception is going to make people become mad. They lose their sanity. That's what the Spirit does. It's called end time deception. So, acceptance. Learn how to accept one another, how to accept what God is saying, and digest that thing. Third, then, find the admonishment in the Word of God. And finally, apply doctrine. Apply doctrine. So, let me just stop right there. Be accountable to the Word that you're studying. Be adaptable to the Word. Don't fight it. Do an assessment when the Word comes to your life. Then, of course, find the advice in the Word that will propel you, that will allow you to grow. And then accept the Word of God. And then find the stuff that you can administer yourself and those around in your environment, in your metron. And finally, apply the Word of God. If you can do that, finally, we can find the thing that God wants us. Why did I choose to